Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Chris Hartman. I am a PhD student in the Food Science and Technology program at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and I'm also a lecturer and coordinator of the Aviation Science program at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and that'll have some relevance later in my presentation. My advisors on this project, Dr. Nachardri, Dr. Mitra, and Dr. Craig Daughtry of the USDA. So what I'm going to talk about today is kind of a progress report of sorts on this project. So this project, broadly, we're looking at nitrogen use efficiency and water use efficiency. And this has been ongoing since 2012. And there's lots of analysis, still to be done. But I'm going to talk about what happened in 2012, what happened in 2013, what we're doing in 2014, and then where we're going to go from there into the future. So just as some background of where we are and the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and understanding what we do, we are in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. We're actually on the eastern shore of Maryland. I'm going to show that on another map. But this is the Chesapeake Bay watershed. This map comes from the USGS, and they have some monitoring stations on the major waterways and flowing into the Chesapeake Bay. They measured in 2010 here about 335 million pounds of nitrogen flowing into the bay that year. Won't point any fingers, but our friends in Pennsylvania and New York have a lot to do with that. They're by far the largest aquifer up there on the Susquehanna. But we also have on the other side of the eastern shore, we have the Atlantic coastal bays. So these are the along the Virginia coast and along the Maryland coast, we have the coastal bays, and that's this portion over here on the right side of the eastern shore. So just to give you some perspective, this is the eastern shore, the Delmarva Peninsula, as it may be called, and we at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore are located here. We have about 500 acres of agricultural fields, and precision agriculture is something relatively new to the university, but I'm going to give you a little bit of background on what it is that we're doing and why this project. So this is some grid soil sampling we did a couple of years ago. I believe this was 2011. And you can see this is just one of our fields. This was on a half-acre grid, and this is what we call Bosman Field. It's one of the farms adjacent to campus. And historically, the way that these fields have been fertilized is with poultry litter. There's a large poultry industry on the eastern shore of Maryland, and as you know, a byproduct of poultry industry is poultry litter. And we've fertilized the fields with that poultry litter for a number of years, and until some point in the recent past when we stopped doing that. And the one thing that I do want to point out from this is, we know we're a little bit short on potassium. We're dealing with that. But the phosphorus levels are extremely high. And as a result, what we've moved to is no longer using, we don't need to use any phosphorus in our fertilization. So we've moved to just nitrogen-based, pure straight nitrogen fertilizers, maybe a little bit of sulfur thrown in for a good mix. So as we move to just nitrogen, what we wanted to figure out was what is the optimum for this area. You know, not a lot of information about how nitrogen affects the eastern shore and how it performs on the eastern shore. And we all know that we want to improve nitrogen use efficiency. This should be no surprise to anybody in this room. Nitrogen use efficiency and its improvement in managing the nitrogen cycle is one of the most critical things that we've got going on here this century. So what are we looking at? We're looking at people, planet, profit, a threefold benefit to improving nitrogen use efficiency. Right? We feed the world. At the same time, we minimize impact to the planet, and we maximize profits to producers through this. So the goal in getting there, and our goal in getting there, is how do we measure the infield variability that we've got going on? So this project is all about measuring that. We're taking on some nitrogen rate studies to figure out what is the nitrogen response on the eastern shore. Now, this is primarily around corn that we're looking at this. And we're in a corn-soybean rotation. That's the standard practice on the eastern shore, and winter wheat thrown in for good measure. So what I'm looking to do with this project is develop an economically optimum nitrogen rate for our fields, and also the development of a sensor-based application algorithm. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So this was the first year of the project, 2012, and for us and for a lot of people, 2012 was a drought year. So in this project, what we had is we had two zones, irrigated and non-irrigated. We had these plots were each 30 feet long and four rows wide. Our rows are 30 inches. So this was a total of 48 plots. We had a reference strip there in the middle, which was applied 300 pounds. These are in pounds per acre. And we did various rates, 0, 60, 120, 180, and 240 pounds per acre in those plots. Just as a summary for 2012, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but 2012 being a drought year, what we saw was no effect of nitrogen at all in the non-irrigated plots. In the irrigated plots, nitrogen did have an effect. This was analyzed with ANOVA and Tukey's HSD. And the significant effect was in the nitrogen on the irrigated plot. So there was this interaction effect there, obviously, that year. There was no impact of nitrogen on the non-irrigated plots. And in fact, we saw no significant effect of nitrogen above 120 pounds per acre, which was interesting because this was the first year of the project and farmer practice was about 150 pounds per acre. So seeing no effect over 120 started us to think we need to hone in on that number just a little bit more. And there were those results. And as you can see, in past I've presented some economic analysis of this. And if we had known, we would have applied no nitrogen to the non-irrigated plots, obviously, because all of the nitrogen that we applied there was essentially lost because there was no ability for uptake there. But we did see improvement in nitrogen rate up to about 120. So we expanded the project in 2013. It grew from 48 plots to 108 plots. How it got there is we added another experimental factor. That experimental factor was seed. So we took on Pioneer Aquamax, which is a drought-tolerant seed, and one that is not a Pioneer hybrid that is not identified as drought-tolerant. These were planted in six-row strips, so I just broke it. There it is. Okay. Six-row strips, so the strips are going this way through the field. So this is six rows of Aquamax, six rows of non-Aquamax, and then alternating through the field this way. This was divided up then into basically three blocks. Each of those blocks had one of three different irrigation treatments, and those were rain-fed only, so no irrigation, or a partial season irrigation or full season irrigation. And then within those regions, we had 0, 4489, 134, 179, and 224 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. Those are hand-applied ammonium nitrate. Each of these plots were actually 50 feet long this year, so we got a little bit bigger than in the previous year. So 2013, the story for 2013 is that where 2012 was drought, 2013 was basically the exact opposite. We had an optimum year in terms of rainfall, and we were scheduling irrigation based on ET as measured by weather station in the field. And I just wanted to point out this is the cumulative ET graph from that weather station. And every time we reached just about zero ET, we had a rainfall event. And then we reached zero ET again, and we have another rainfall event. And so we never got to a point where we had to apply irrigation to the partial season. The partial season irrigation was meant to be up through the reproductive phase, and then we were going to stop then and then continue to irrigate the full season all the way through. That meant that the partial season irrigation was unnecessary. It was just a perfect year in terms of rainfall. So that changed the number of replications that we had. But we did see significant effects of both seed type and nitrogen. There was no effect of irrigation. Irrigation we applied very minimally. We didn't need very much. It was applied very late in the season, and we saw no effect there. What we did see, however, was we did see that the non-Aquamax seed in this year had yield that was 12.8% higher than the Aquamax seed, the drought-tolerant seed. And on our nitrogen rate, we kind of are seeing the same thing. We're seeing this 120 pounds per acre or this 134 kilograms per hectare as kind of the number that we're wanting to hone in on. We're beginning to see that that is where our nitrogen, our optimum nitrogen rate may lie there, somewhere there. So I just wanted to talk about this very briefly. In 2013, we also acquired Spray Coop, which we retrofitted with the Opteryx system from Ag Leader. This was the first year that we were able to incorporate this, and as a result, we only got one field that was planted the latest. We were able to do this, and it was very tall at this point. We were 5 or 6 foot tall corn. So, but we were able to apply some variable rates. So this was done just with the stock factory algorithms. We have not yet got to the point where we're refining those algorithms based on our own data. Another portion of the experiment in 2013 that we added was a seeding density trial. Where we also had the same six-row strips of Aquamax and non-Aquamax, but what we did is we went from 79,000 seeds per acre down to 59,000 seeds per acre, back to 79, and then back to 59, and alternated that through this this approximately 50-acre field. What we saw there, and you can actually see on the yield monitor data here, you can see obviously where the higher density planting was. There's some higher density yield results, and that was actually significant. And I'm going to jump ahead to this slide to show that the 59,000 seeds per hectare was basically the same across seed types. We didn't see any differences in yield there, almost identical, in fact, across those seed types. However, what we did see is that in the non-Aquamax seed, we got a larger bump from our yield. In our yield with the additional seeding density. Again, 2013 was an optimum year in terms of rainfall, so we did not see the drought conditions that would have potentially led to some other differences there. So 2014, how we've expanded on that, we have the same 108 plot experiment, also in a different field following soybeans. We did the same irrigation treatments, but we added another 48 plots on a newly acquired farm that's just a couple miles from campus. And there's no irrigation capability there, so this is just for the nitrogen rate. This is just a kite-based image that I was able to get earlier in the season. And then I'm just going to go through this very briefly, but this year we started, we received an FAA COA for operation of the 3D Robotics X8 flying the Tetracam ADC Lite. We received that on July 1st and started flying July 10th. Here's an example of one of our flights and the images that were acquired there. This is the 108. Can't recognize it. There is the 108 plots laid over that. We can already begin to see a little bit of the variation there. We can see visually. We can actually see the seed type differences, and we can certainly see a little bit of the zero nitrogen rates if you look here. We have zero nitrogen rates here, and if we look at that, we can see those areas are showing up in the color infrared image. We process that to an NDVI, and those differences are even more dramatic. I don't have yield data from 2014. The students should be back at the school right now, diligently working on weighing and getting moisture readings on this, so I can analyze the 2014 data. But I will say, there are some dramatic differences. This is a zero. This is a 160. So treatment effects are certainly there. Another image just for fun. This was thrown in. If you notice this area here, that is this. This is white-tailed deer damage for us this year. Lots of fun. So where are we going in the future? I'm going to turn around next year and try to do a quick turn from aerial imaging to nitrogen prescription. My goal is to, in one day, be able to fly and turn around a nitrogen-based prescription map that will then upload to the Spray Coop and apply nitrogen. on the go based on that prescription map. And we're going to do a little bit higher level automation of our irrigation control. We've been stepping that up every year, and I want to be able to do a little bit more next year. And should acknowledge all the great help that I've had. And I don't know if there's time for questions. I think I'm going to run over. All right.